This is the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com. You can call us at 440-579-2531. Send us an email at studio@sportstalknetwork.com or follow us on Twitter at SportsTalkNet. The Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com starts now.
Hello again, everybody. This is Steve Callis on The Steve Callis Show. It's Monday, October 1st, 2012. I encourage you to send your emails to studio@sportstalknetwork.com. That's S-T-U-D-I-O at sportstalknetwork.com. Got a lot to do today. We'll get to the NFL. We're going to start with the Major League Baseball as they wind down to the final three games for everybody. Still lots of playoff implications abounding. So we'll go right to the American League, which really is the closest of all. We'll go to games with contenders on both sides, although we'll get to the other games as well. Tampa Bay in Chicago to play the White Sox. The White Sox having essentially collapsed in the last 2 weeks, allowing Detroit to not only catch them but pass them. The Rays clinging to hope for a playoff spot. Yesterday, the Rays beat the White Sox 6-2. David Price, certainly a strong Cy Young candidate, maybe the winner. I think it's him and Jared Weaver. Price moves to 20-5 as the Rays beat the White Sox 6-2. Quintana takes the loss. He's 6-6. The big picture ramifications of this are now the Rays are four games behind the Yankees and the Orioles. They play the Orioles three games now down in Tampa, but the Rays obviously can't catch either of them. Their only hope is to catch Oakland, who is three games ahead of them. We'll get to all the specifics on the scheduling and the standings in a little bit. But the Rays clinging to a very slim hope. The White Sox, who cannot win a wild card, are now three behind the Tigers, and of course they need the same kind of the Tigers lose three in the White Sox sweep. Price, 7 innings pitch, 5 hits, 2 runs, both earned. He's 20-5 with a 2.56 ERA. I mean, that really probably is a Cy Young season. I kind of thought Weaver's season was a little better, but Price does pitch in the AL East, so we'll just have to see how the voters go there, but I think it's obviously going to be one of those two guys. B.J. Upton with a big late-year surge, hits two home runs, his 28th and 29th. Roberts hits his fifth of the year for Tampa Bay. Upton 3-for-5 with 3 runs scored and 3 RBIs, only hitting .247 for the year. But still coming up big at a time when, frankly, Tampa needs every win. You know, they were obviously hoping to be within three of the Orioles when they played the Orioles three down in Tampa, but they didn't do that, so they're four out. They can't catch the Orioles, who have clinched a playoff berth but not a division. They can't catch the Yankees, who have clinched a playoff berth but not a division. Tampa Bay 6, White Sox 2, Konerko 2-for-4, the only member of the White Sox who only got 5 hits total. Konerko 2-for-4 with a run scored. He's batting .297. He's having a heck of a year. But it looks like the White Sox are going to be an odd team out, and it might very well be also that Tampa Bay is another odd team out. Rays 6, White Sox 2. Angels and Rangers played a doubleheader yesterday. As you probably know, the Texas has already clinched a playoff spot. The Angels trying to get to a playoff spot. The Angels really needed to sweep yesterday. They won the first game 5-4 in Texas. Richards the winner. He's 4-3. Nathan takes the loss. He's 3-5. Frieri with his 23rd save of the year. Trout hit his 30th home run. Don't think you can give him the MVP over Cabrera, especially since now looks like the Tigers are probably going to make the playoffs, and it looks like the Angels very well might not. Nelson Cruz hit his 24th for Texas. First game of the doubleheader, Angels 5, Rangers 4. The second game, the Angels really needed it, as did the Rangers, with Oakland, frankly, closing in on the Rangers very late in the season. But the Rangers get the win. Rangers 8, Angels 7. Angels were down 8-4. They scored 3 in the 7th, but that's all they could get. Derek Holland gets the win. He's 12-6. Santana takes the loss. He's 9-13. Nathan in that game gets his 37th save of the year. after blowing the save in the first game and getting the loss. But I think the Rangers will take a split, but the Angels really needed a doubleheader sweep. In that second game, Murphy hit his 15th for Texas. Napoli had the big hit. Napoli hit two home runs, his 22nd and 23rd for Texas. For the Angels, Trumbo hit his 32nd. Howie Kendrick hit his 8th. Rangers 8, Angels 7. Again, we'll get to the standings in a bit, but those were that was a big doubleheader that they split, Angels and Rangers. A few other games to take a look at. Yankees down 5-1 to the Blue Jays, with the Orioles already having beaten the Red Sox. The Yankees come back to beat the Blue Jays. Yankees 9, Blue Jays 6. Jeter with a big RBI single. Granderson with a big 2-RBI double, which got the Yankees. The Yankees scored 7 runs in the last 3 innings to get the win. Yankees 9, Blue Jays 6. Chavez hit his 16th home run for the Yankees. Laurie hit his 11th for the Blue Jays. Logan gets the win in relief. He's 7-2. Oliver takes a loss. He's 3-4. The Orioles kept doing what the Orioles have been doing. They beat the Red Sox 6-3. Saunders gets the win. Stewart gets the loss. Johnson gets his 50th save of the year for Baltimore. And I think you can make a case that he is the MVP. J.J. Hardy hit his 22nd for Baltimore. Chris Davis his 34th. Nate McLouth led off the game with his 7th all for Baltimore. Ross hit his 22nd. He had a good year for Boston in the lost season for the Red Sox. Nava had his 5th. The Tigers beat the Twins 2-1 on Prince Fielder's 2-run home run in the top of the 8th. Twins were leading, obviously, 1-0 until then. But Fielder with his 30th home run, 108 RBIs, big win for the Tigers. Tigers 2, Twins 1. Coke gets the win, he's 2-3. Burton takes the loss, he's 3-2. Valverde gets his 34th save of the year. Athletics moving closer to a playoff game and picking up ground on the Texas Rangers. They beat the Mariners 5-2. Doolittle gets the win, he's 2-1. Kelly takes the loss. Graham Balfour his 22nd save. J.J. Redick, waking up after that horrific slump he was in, hits his 32nd homer of the year. Cespedes hits his 23rd. Athletics 5, Mariners 2. And Bud Selig probably likes this, but there was only one game in the American League that had no playoff implications. The Indians hammer the Royals 15-3. McAllister gets the win. Hochever takes the loss. Asdrubal Cabrera hits his 16th for Cleveland. Alex Gordon is 13th for KC. But the point being, again, from a, I don't know, excitement perspective, again, once upon a time, as you know, the team that only one came in first went to the World Series. That's all changed. But whatever, these are the rules that there are now. 2 wild cards. We'll get to the standings in the American League in a sec. I did want to say Mike Trout, who, again, I thought he was the leading MVP candidate for much of the year, but I think now that has to go to Cabrera. It doesn't look like the Angels are going to make the playoffs. It does look like the Tigers are going to win the AL Central. But Mike Trout becomes the first player to have 30 home runs, 45 stolen bases, and 125 runs in one season. He's the first guy to do that, and he's only a rookie. I mean, a stunning year for Trout again. I think the Angels are going to come up short. I think Cabrera, who now is in the lead for a triple crown, has to be the MVP on a team that's going to make the playoffs. Let's get to the standings quickly. Baltimore and the Yankees are 92-67, so they're tied for the AL East. They're also tied for the first wild card. They're a game up on Oakland in the wild card race. So Baltimore plays Tampa in Tampa. The Yankees play the Red Sox at Yankee Stadium. Obviously, edge to the Yankees. Tampa still has a glimmer of hope. Tampa 88-71. They're 4 games behind the Yankees in Baltimore, so obviously they can't catch them. But they're 3 out of the wild card spot, 3 behind Oakland. Now, Oakland, well, let's go through the rest of it. Detroit leads the White Sox by 3 games with 3 games to play. The Detroit in Kansas City for three, the White Sox in Cleveland for three. Obviously, if Detroit wins a game, they clinch the Central, and you have to think they're going to get at least one game there. The White Sox, the only way they make the playoffs is if Detroit loses three and they win three. They're out of the wild card race. In the West, Texas has clinched the playoff spot, but not the division. They're 93-66, still the best record in the American League. But the A's, 91-68. They're two games behind Texas in the West, and they have the second wild card right now. The Angels, 88-71 after that split yesterday. They're three games out of a wild card. They can't win the West. So, again, you need a situation where Texas sweeps Oakland and the Angels sweep Seattle. You know, I guess that's a possibility. But we'll see. Obviously, if Oakland sweeps Texas, Oakland wins, which is kind of surprising. Oakland wins the AL West. So there's still a number of teams left, not as many, of course. But the Yankees and Baltimore are definitely in the playoffs. Detroit is almost definitely in the playoffs. Texas has already clinched a playoff berth, but not a division. There's been no division clinched yet in the American League, which is pretty fascinating. Want to get to the National League now, the one game that had playoff implications for both teams is the Nationals in St. Louis to play the Cardinals. Obviously, the Nationals have already clinched a playoff spot, but not a division. The Cardinals at home beat the Nationals 10-4. Lynn having a heck of a year himself, 18-7. He gets the win. Detweiler, who's been okay, not great for the Nationals, he's 10-8. He takes the loss. Cardinals got 5 in the second, 2 in the third, so they were up 7-0. They coasted to a 10-4 win. Carlos Beltran, his 32nd homer of the year. Boy, what a year he's had for the Cardinals, as opposed to what he's done for the Mets, but whatever. Harper hits his 22nd of the year for the Nationals. Espinoza, his 17th. Cardinals, 10. Nationals, 4. A few other games to look at in the National League. The Reds beat the Pirates 4-3. The Reds having clinched now the Central, the Pirates out of it. The Braves beat the Mets 6-2. Medlin wins again. He's 10-1. He's unbelievable. Craig Kimbrel with his 42nd save. Ross hit his 9th home run for the Braves. The Mets playing better at the end of the year, but they're now 73-86. Brewers have lost all chance. They're shut out by the Astros 7-0. The Giants beat the Padres 7-5. The Giants have already clinched the West. The Dodgers clinging to hope. We'll get to their standings after the break. Dodgers 7, Rockies 1. Beckett gets the win. De La Rosa takes the loss. Kemp hit his 23rd, and he was out a long time with injury, as you know. Ellis is 12th. Cruz is 6th for the Dodgers. Brown with his 5th for Colorado. Dodgers clinging to hope. Beat the Rockies 7-1. Diamondbacks now officially out of it. They lose to the Cubs 7-2. Rusin gets the win. He's 2-3. Shaw takes the loss. He's 1-6. Those are all your national. Well, the Phillies beat the Marlins, but again, the Phillies out of it as well. Hamill 17-6, a heck of a year. Eovaldi 4-13. Papelbon with his 38th save. But not enough, too little, too late for the Phillies as they beat the Marlins. The Marlins, of course, with a nightmare season. We'll get to the National League standings after the break, and then we'll get to the NFL. A lot happening there as well, of course. This is the Steve Callis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Every day, nearly 3,000 families enter into foreclosure and face losing their home. If you're currently behind on your mortgage, you can still avoid foreclosure. You can save your home, but you need to act now. We're Allied State Foreclosure Services. We're experts in saving homes from foreclosure. With just one phone call to us, you can stop the foreclosure process, lower your monthly mortgage payments, and save your home. Call now. The call is free with no obligation. 1-800-603-8308. Call us if you've been threatened with foreclosure, denied loan modification, or missed a payment on your mortgage. If you've been a victim of a predatory loan or are upside down on your mortgage, even if you've lost your job and you're worried about losing your home, don't wait. Call us now and let us help you save your home. You've worked hard to build a life with your family. Let us help you keep your home. Call now before it's too late. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308.
With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in Square D, Eaton Cutler Hammer, Siemens Automation, Banner Engineering, ASCO Valves, Bussmann and Faraz Fuses, and coming very soon are more than 5,000 line items of Allen Bradley. SupplyLineElectric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts.
Follow your favorite NFL team all season long on sportstalknetwork.com. Team news, injury updates, game previews, and recaps are updated 24/7. sportstalknetwork.com. Your teams, your city, your passion.
Listen, if you're considering buying hardwood flooring, don't do anything until you've written down this number and received your free Lumber Liquidators catalog.
The flooring was high quality with an unbeatable price tag.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
What I bought at Lumber Liquidators is a vastly higher quality than flooring I had installed 6 years ago, and for a fraction of the cost.
So if you want great hardwood flooring at unbeatable prices, trust Lumber Liquidators. We buy direct from the mills. Call right now to get our flooring guide and catalog absolutely free. It's filled with top quality hardwood flooring, including solid hardwoods, laminates, and bamboos, and even Bellawood pre-finished flooring with a 100-year transferable warranty. The same floor Bob Vila has in his home. This free catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to make your buying decisions easy. Hurry, call right now to get a copy of this free guide and catalog. Call 877-407-9413 to get your free copy now. 877-407-9413. 877-407-9413.
Blue Zoo Radio with Frank Reese, Sunday nights at 8 p.m., only on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to four rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes your free HD TV upgrade, your free DVR upgrade, and your free professional installation. And the best part? The pristine digital picture and sound.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit
card. Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more.
Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. Quickly to the NL standings, then we'll get to the NFL. Washington, 96-63. They have a three-game lead over Atlanta, obviously with three to play. Atlanta, they both clinched playoff spots. Atlanta is locked in easily to the first wild card already. They're seven games ahead of St. Louis, the second wild card team. They could, you know, in theory, they could if Washington loses three to Philly and Atlanta sweeps Pittsburgh, then they'll be tied. Those are playoff games this year. If you're tied for a division lead, obviously to win your division means something this year besides just getting home field advantage. So you don't want to be in that wild card one game, play 162 games, and then have it all ride in on one game. So you have to think Washington's going to be going to win the NL East. But right now, Washington 96-63, Atlanta 93-66. Again, they're three out with three to play, but they have a commanding lead in the wild card, so both teams have already made the playoffs. Philly at 80-79, after making a run, can't get either. Cincinnati has clinched the NL Central last week, 96-63. They have a 10-game lead on St. Louis, but St. Louis right now has the second wild card spot. San Francisco also clinched last week, 93-66 over the Dodgers. Now, the Dodgers, to me, have been disappointing since they made that trade. I thought they were going to win the West after they made that trade. They're 9 games behind San Francisco. They're the only team left. It's not like the American League. They're the only team left that has a chance to now win the wild card. Everybody else has been eliminated. Atlanta is locked into the first wild card. St. Louis has the second wild card. And now the Dodgers are 2 out, with 2 behind St. Louis with 3 games to play for the wild card. So if St. Louis gets swept by Cincinnati, now Cincinnati really doesn't have a whole lot to play for, but, you know, Cincinnati's a very good team. If Cincinnati sweeps St. Louis and the Dodgers sweep the Giants, another long shot, even though the Giants have clinched as well, there's always that rivalry, then that's the only way the Dodgers win outright. They're 2 games behind St. Louis with 3 games to play. So we'll have to see again what happens. Right now you have to think St. Louis is going to, you know, win the second wild card. But that's the only thing really in the West, in the National League, with Washington and Atlanta still having to decide. But again, Washington is up 3 with 3 to go. So you have to like their chances to obviously win the NL West. NL East. Let's go to the NFL now. A bunch of interesting games yesterday, as always. Last night was a fascinating game to me. Philly in Philly beats the Giants. Philly 19, Giants 17. There was so much to this game. Philly retired Brian Dawkins' number before the game. He really fired up the Eagles, many of whom he played with. Nnamdi Asamoah left the game in the middle of the game with an eye injury, but came back to be involved in just a number of plays, many of which were controversial. Philly, after winning 19-17, they're 3-1. They've won their 2 games by 1 point. They've won their 3 games by 1 point. 1 point last night by 2 points. So they've been outscored by 17 points, but they're 3-1. Vic to DeSean Jackson after a scoreless first quarter, 19-yard touchdown. 10-10 after Manning hit Cruz for a 14-yard touchdown. But then Manning, first and goal for the Giants, threw a bad pick, and Manning's been great. He is an elite quarterback. I didn't think he was before the playoffs last year, but he is. But Dominic Rogers-Cromartie stopped the Giants with an interception in the end zone at 10-10, and again, you got to get at least 3 out of there, if not 7. In any event, Philadelphia gets a couple of field goals, goes up 16-10, and then Manning hits Bear Pasco to give the Giants the lead, 17-16. Philly's coming back the other way, you know, and it's a two-headed analysis when you're dealing with Manning and the Giants or Brady and the Patriots. You want to score, but you don't want to score too early. But Philly winds up kicking an Alex Henry 26-yard field goal, puts them up 19-17 with about 1:47 left. And then the Giants are driving down the field, 4th-and-1. They fool everyone and go for a long pass play, interference call. 3rd-and-10, they throw another pass down the field, Nnamdi Asamoah pass interference. He claimed after the game it wasn't. It was a borderline call. But then 2nd-and-9, Giants driving. They're on the Philly 26, which is going to be a 44-yard field goal for Lawrence Tynes, who's a pretty clutch kicker for the Giants and has been for a few years now. But on the throw, this time the pass interference is called on the offense. Ramsey's Barden did. He wrapped his arm around Asamoah. He also put his other hand on the guy's helmet and pulled him down. Now, Manning, classy guy that he is, took the blame. After the game, Manning took the blame for that play, saying he turned Barden into a pass defender rather than a pass receiver. And he's right. It wasn't a well-thrown ball. There was no way Barden could have caught it. There was a way Asamoah could have caught it. But, you know, there's ways to do that without obvious pass interference. And, of course, that became the key play in the game because it moved the Giants back from the 26 of Philly to the 36 of Philly and turned a very makeable 44-yard field goal for Lawrence Tynes into a very difficult 54-yard field goal. Interestingly, and you know they should change this rule, I mean, it is the world's dumbest rule, and it really does not give, I don't think, either team a benefit. Coach Reed for Philly decides to call a timeout literally when the ball is being snapped. You've seen this before now. And Tynes kicks the ball 60 yards, but it's wide left, but the timeout was called, so it doesn't count. So now they show Andy Reid, and he's like, oh, my goodness, what have I done? So the Giants line up. Now you have time. You can get your line set. You can get everything set. There's no rush. And the snap is good. The hold is good. Tynes kicks it dead center, but it only goes about 52 yards. It just comes up short of the crossbar. And the Eagles hold on to win, Philly 19, Giants 17. Obviously, the final pass interference call was a gigantic call in the game, but that was the right call. I mean, if you see the replay of that play, there's no doubt. Now, Barden is a young receiver. Yes, he's been in the league 4 years, but this is the first time he's really played a lot. He just did not have to do what he did. And, you know, you're asking a lot out of a young receiver to play the ball as almost a defender without doing what he did to Asamoah. And again, what he did was he held him with one hand and put his hand on his helmet with the other hand and took him down. I mean, it was just a takedown. So that's a big win for Philly. That's a tough loss for the Giants. Now, again, Philly 3-1, Giants 2-2. But you have to remember, the Giants were 9-7 last year. The Giants were not such a good team during the regular season. They got hot at the end and had, of course, an amazing run through the playoffs. But that Eastern NFC is an incredibly tough division. So now the Giants are 0-2 in their division. And, of course, that's not good. Philly 19, Giants 17. Michael Vick, 19 for 30, 241 yards, one TD, no picks. Surprisingly, Philly with no turnovers. That was the key to the game. Manning only had one, but it was that big one in the end zone. He was 24 for 42 for 309, two TDs and the pick. McCoy was unbelievable, 23 rushes for 123 yards. Jackson, six receptions for 99. For the Giants, they just can't run the ball. Ahmad Bradshaw back from injury, 13 for 39. Brown, who had two good games the last 2 weeks, only 5 for 14. Victor Cruz with nine catches for 109 yards and a TD. Hickson was also good, 6 for 114. But the bottom line is Philly 19, Giants 17, Philly 3-1, Giants 2-2. Bunch of other games to get to. Very interesting game. Very good game. Saints at 0-3 in to play the Packers, who were, of course, jobbed last week on that last play with Seattle at the beginning of the game. Green Bay was thrilled to see the new refs by the end of the game. You have to wonder. Well, I guess since Green Bay won the game, it doesn't matter, but there were some brutal, brutal officiating calls in this game. But Green Bay does get the win. Green Bay 28, New Orleans 27. Drew Brees was unbelievable. He tied Johnny Unitas' record for throwing a touchdown pass in 47 games in a row. Now, that's amazing today, but you can't even compare this 47-game streak to Unitas'. I mean, I think Brees would have to throw about 94 to really equal what Unitas did. It was just such a different game with such an emphasis on running. So many tougher rules in terms of throwing and receiving, not like today. No such thing as a defenseless receiver and all this stuff. And I'm not saying that it shouldn't be. It should be that way. But, again, to me, you can't really compare them. What Unitas did was just unbelievable. What Brees has done is great, but not unbelievable. I think Tom Brady's at 36 or 37 himself now. But in any event, Green Bay gets the win. New Orleans jumped out to a lead. And again, this was a recurring theme in this game. Brees to Marcus Colston. Colston clearly pushed off in the end zone to get a touchdown. But Green Bay comes back. John Kuhn fake punt deep in their own territory for a first down. Rodgers winds up throwing the touchdown to James Jones. Green Bay up 21-7. Breeze hit Sproles right before the half, 21-14 at the half, but it still looked like Green Bay at home had the game in command. And then up 21-17, here's what happened. Rodgers rolling right, trying to throw it into the end zone. He gets poked in the eye. He has to come out for one play. The substitute quarterback, the backup, Graham Harrell, comes in. All they want to do is hand the ball off. This is the old get three, get seven, get what you can. But he steps on his own lineman as he's going back to hand the ball off. He falls down. He can't get the handoff clean. He trips over his own man. There's a fumble, and New Orleans recovers on the two-yard line. And then a few plays later, Breeze hits Joseph Morgan for an amazing 80-yard TD reception. I say amazing because he wound up Morgan the last 15 yards, shaking off two would-be tacklers. Now, again, they might have been more interested in stripping the ball than tackling the receiver, which often happens in today's game. But nonetheless, that puts them up 24-21. Patrick Robinson then intercepts Aaron Rodgers. They kick a field goal, 27-21. But then Aaron Rodgers, being Aaron Rodgers, drives the pack down the field, hits Jordy Nelson late for a TD. They go ahead 28-27, but back comes Breeze, because he's Breeze. A few completions. Hartley, their field goal kicker, is pretty good. He lines up for a 43-yard field goal. He makes it, but there's a holding penalty on the Saints, so they bring it back. He's lining up to now kick a 53-yard field goal, kind of similar to the Giant game. He has to make it to win, but before he gets to kick that one, there's encroachment on the defense, so he lines up a third time to try his second field goal of the down, and he lines up for a 48-yard field goal, and he misses it left. Green Bay runs out the clock after that. Green Bay 28, New Orleans 27. And again, if you had any doubts about Sean Payton, New Orleans, an interim coach for the coach, an interim coach for the interim coach, it's been nothing but a disaster for the Saints. Saints now 0-4. So again, not something you would have expected. It's just been a total disaster, and they're frankly pretty much, I don't know how you could think anything other than they're pretty much out of it. I mean, again, they're 0-4. I mean, where are they going? The Falcons are 4-0 in their division. Tampa and Carolina are 1-3, but 0-4, I don't know how you expect them to even make a run at a playoff berth. You're going to need like 10 wins at least, I would think, to make the playoffs, and they're already four games behind a very good team. So I don't think New Orleans can catch Atlanta. They're already playing for a wild card at 0-4, and it's not like they're getting their coach back anytime soon. Peyton gone for the year. Green Bay 28, New Orleans 27. Breeze unbelievable in defeat, 35 for 54, 446 and 3 TDs, but it doesn't matter. Aaron Rodgers, 31 for 41, 319, 4 TDs, 1 pick. Cedric Benson coming to life for the Packers, 18 for 84. Rushing, Jordy Nelson, 8 receptions for 93 and a touchdown. Jones, 5 receptions for 56 and 2 touchdowns. The Packers, I think, are in good shape. New Orleans couldn't run the ball, so they had to rely on the passing. Colston, 9 receptions for 153 yards and a touchdown. Graham and Moore both with 7 receptions, but not enough. Green Bay 28, Saints 27. We'll get to the rest of the NFL after the break and a couple of other non-NFL things. This is the Steve Kallis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Every day, nearly 3,000 families enter into foreclosure and face losing their home. If you're currently behind on your mortgage, you can still avoid foreclosure. You can save your home, but you need to act now. We're Allied State Foreclosure Services. We're experts in saving homes from foreclosure. With just one phone call to us, you can stop the foreclosure process, lower your monthly mortgage payments, and save your home. Call now. The call is free with no obligation. 1-800-603-8308. Call us if you've been threatened with foreclosure, denied loan modification, application or missed a payment on your mortgage. If you've been a victim of a predatory loan or are upside down on your mortgage, even if you've lost your job and you're worried about losing your home, don't wait. Call us now and let us help you save your home. You've worked hard to build a life with your family. Let us help you keep your home. Call now before it's too late. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308.
With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in Square D, Eaton Cutler Hammer, Siemens Automation, Banner Engineering, ASCO Valves, Bussmann and Faraz Fuses, and coming very soon are more than 5,000 line items of Allen Bradley. SupplyLineElectric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts.
Follow your favorite NFL team all season long on SportsTalkNetwork.com. Team news, injury updates, game previews, and recaps are updated 24/7. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your teams, your city, your passion.
Listen, if you're considering buying hardwood flooring, don't do anything until you've written down this number and received your free Lumber Liquidators catalog.
The flooring was high quality with an unbeatable price tag.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
What I bought at Lumber Liquidators is a vastly higher quality than flooring I had installed 6 years ago, and for a fraction of the cost.
So if you want grade hardwood flooring at unbeatable prices, trust Lumber Liquidators. We buy direct from the mills. Call right now to get our flooring guide and catalog absolutely free. It's filled with top quality hardwood flooring, including solid hardwoods, laminates, and bamboos, and even Bella Wood prefinished flooring with a 100-year transferable warranty. The same floor Bob Vila has in his home. This free catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to make your buying decisions easy. Hurry, call right now to get a copy of this free guide and catalog. Call 877-407-9413 to get your free copy now. 877-407-9413. 877-407-9413.
Blue Zoo Radio with Frank Reese. Sunday nights at 8 p.m. only on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to 4 rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes your free HD TV upgrade, your free DVR upgrade, and your free professional installation. And the best part, the pristine digital picture and sound.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit
card.
Call
877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more.
Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
And we're back on the Steve Callis Show, back to the NFL. Panthers in Atlanta to play the undefeated Falcons. And again, you love Cam Newton, you love his talent. He looked a little stupid last week on TV when his team was getting slaughtered by the Giants and he scored a touchdown and gave you that Superman thing. I think they were losing like 26-7 at the time and they wound up losing 36-7. Doesn't appear he really learned much of that. The problem for Newton is he's a very good player, but he's still a young player, and he just doesn't quite understand. There's only one thing that matters in the NFL, and of course, that's wins. And yesterday, he led Carolina on a great comeback. Carolina takes the lead very late, 28-27. They're trying to kill the clock. Cam Newton fumbles the ball. He goes for a first down. If they get the first down, they win the game. They're going to run out the clock. But he fumbles that ball, and Carolina recovers, but not past the first down marker, so they have to punt. They punt it to the Atlanta 1, and you think, oh, wow, you know, I mean, Atlanta's on their 1. Carolina's winning. And then the first play from the 1, Matty Ryan, who has to prove himself in the playoffs, I understand, but he's an excellent NFL quarterback, throws a 58-yard bomb to Roddy White, who had already caught two TD passes. He then drives them down the field. Matt Bryan lines up for a 40-yard field goal to win the game, and Matt Bryan, who is an excellent kicker, makes the 40-yard field goal. Atlanta 30, Carolina 28. So Atlanta's 4-0, and Carolina's 1-3. Newton 15 for 24 for 215 and two TDs. Ryan 25 for 40 for 389, three TDs and one pick. Michael Turner was awesome, 13 for 103. Roddy White, as I said, two touchdowns, eight receptions for 169 yards. Turner also a TD reception, three for 68 out of the backfield. You have to give Atlanta a lot of credit. And the Panthers, you know, I think they only won six games last year, and you thought they'd be better this year, but they're just not quite over the hump. So maybe they'll win more than six games this year, but some people thought they might be a playoff team, and I just don't think they can really get over the hump enough to be a playoff team. Just my opinion. It's still early. Certainly Newton is talented, and they do have a good team. This was a wacky game. Everybody worried about the Patriots dropping to 1-3. And, you know, the Patriots are fortunate, I think, because their division is terrible. The Jets are terrible. Miami's got a rookie quarterback who played well yesterday, but they're just okay. Buffalo's just okay. But yesterday, after taking a 7-0 lead, the Patriots, the Bills go at home 21 unanswered. And in the third quarter, it's 21-7. And you're like, wow, maybe the experts were right. Maybe New England is in trouble. Maybe they'll lose three in a row for the first time in 10 games. And then the last quarter and a half, if you were watching, was like the scariest thing I ever saw. They were down 21-7. The Patriots come back and score 45 points in the last 25 minutes. I mean, it was just Tom Brady as his finest, and they ran the ball well. 52-28. Patriots, it was just scary. You know, Brady hits Danny Woodhead for a touchdown. Brady runs it in for a touchdown. Brady hits Gronkowski for a touchdown. Stephen Ridley runs it in for a touchdown. I think they scored five touchdowns in five possessions. I mean, it was unbelievable. I mean, Brandon Bolden, an unsigned free agent, 16 rushes for 137 yards and a touchdown. Stephen Ridley, who's a good young back, 22 rushes for 106 yards and two touchdowns. Brady, 22 for 36, 340 yards, three TDs, no picks. Welker apparently out of the doghouse, maybe because Hernandez got hurt, who knows. Nine receptions for 129 yards. Gronkowski, five receptions for 104 yards. Lloyd, three receptions for 50 and a TD. Woodhead with a TD. I mean, it was just unbelievable. Fitzpatrick, 22 for 39, 350 with four TDs, but he threw another four interceptions. He was terrible that first week against the Jets. He was not good yesterday. Four picks against the Patriots. The C.J. Spiller has been great, but yesterday they couldn't mount the rushing attacks. Hard to run on the Patriots. Their defense is better. Eight rushes for 33 yards and a gigantic fumble on, like, the one-yard line when they were going in for a score, which could have changed the game. That was in the first half when they were up 14-7. Fitzpatrick had hit Scott Chandler, the tight end, for two touchdowns. Looked like they were going in for a third before the half, but Spiller fumbles on the one. So the Patriots were able to stop him there. But when they came out after halftime, Fitzpatrick hits Donald Jones for a 68-yard TD, and you're like, yikes. But then again, this is what New England can do. They have such an explosive offense. Patriots 52. Buffalo 28. Another very interesting game. The Dolphins in Arizona to play the undefeated Cardinals. You can't really like the Dolphins on the road. Rookie quarterback, blah, blah, blah. Dolphins go up 13-0 in the first half. And give Tannehill credit. He's come a long way in just a few weeks. I mean, he really, to me, looks like a different quarterback than he was the first week. But after they go up 13-0, Cobb, who got his starting job back due to injury, hits Andre Roberts for a touchdown. Patrick Peterson then picks off a pass for Arizona, runs it back to the two, but Cobb then throws a terrible interception in the end zone. Again, when you get to the end zone, you know, when you're on the 2 or 3 or 4 yard line, you got to get at least a field goal. So Manning threw that pick, which was part of them losing the game. Cobb threw one here, but they were able to come back. 4th and 2 late in the game, down 21-14. Cobb hits Roberts for a Andre Roberts for a first down, and then 4th and 10, 29 seconds left in regulation, Cobb hits Roberts again for a touchdown in the corner of the end zone to tie up the game. In overtime, Kerry Rhodes picks off Tannehill, who had a great game other than that pick. Cobb then hits early Doucette, and Jay Feely, who seems to have been around forever, Jay Feely kicks a 46-yard field goal in overtime. Of course, you know the rules now because Miami had already had the ball. A field goal wins it. Arizona stays undefeated. Arizona 24, Miami 21. Kevin Cobb 29 for 48 for 324 yards, 3 touchdowns, 2 picks. No rushing to speak of for Arizona. Fitzgerald, who they tried to blanket all day, 8 receptions for 64 yards and a touchdown. That opened it up for Roberts. 6 receptions for 118 yards and 2 touchdowns. Bush with 17 rushes and 67 yards for Miami. A gigantic game for Hartline, who's really come along as a number one receiver. Brian Hartline, 12 receptions, 253 yards and 1 touchdown. Tannehill, good numbers, great numbers, 26 for 41, 431 yards and a touchdown, but 2 picks. And again, these turnovers just become more and more and more important when you watch these football games. Miami puts up a valiant effort. Arizona remains undefeated in overtime. Arizona 24, Miami 21. Go through a few of the other games quickly. You know, the Jets, I mean, they're 2-2, but I think they're done. They were done before this game. They lost Revis last week. Santonio Holmes now has a foot injury. The 49ers just slaughtered them at the Meadowlands. 49ers 34, Jets nothing. Smith, efficient. 12 for 21 for 143, but, you know, Gore, 21 rushes for 62 yards. This was a dominant defensive game for the 49ers. Sanchez, 13 for 29 for 103 yards and a pick. Sanchez, under 50% for the third game out of 4 for the Jets, and already, you know, here comes the screams for Tim Tebow. Frankly, with no Revis, and if they lose Holmes, they're done anyway. It doesn't matter who the quarterback is. Rams beat the Seahawks 19-13. Wilson threw 3 interceptions, 17 for 25 for 160 for Seattle, but 3 picks on the road. Bradford 16 for 30 for 221. Marshawn Lynch was very good for Seattle, 20 for 118, but it wasn't enough. St. Louis 19, Seahawks 13, both teams 2-2. Seahawks look like what they often are, a very tough team at home and not so great on the road. The Vikings beat the Lions. To me, the surprising Vikings now 3-1. They beat the Lions 20-13. Ponder knocked out of the game, and they still win. Peterson, 21 rushes for 102 yards. Stafford, 30 for 51 for 319, but the Vikings get the win 20-13. Chargers, maybe they are for real this year. You know the Chargers, they usually get off to a bad start, but now they're 3-1 after hammering the Chiefs in Kansas City. Tough place to play. Chargers 37, Chiefs 20. Rivers 18 for 23 for 209 and 2 TDs. Castle 24 for 42 for 251 and 2 TDs. Charles had 92 yards rushing for the Chiefs. He's the leading rusher in the NFL, but not enough. Chargers 37, Chiefs 20. The Texans bury the Titans. I mean, the Texans are also 4-0. They're unbelievable. Tennessee also lost their quarterback. Matt Hasselbeck came in 17 for 25 for 193 and 2 TDs. But 2 picks that were returned for touchdowns, those were big plays. Matt Schaub, 20 for 28 for 202 and 2 TDs. Bengals beat the Jaguars 27-10. Jaguars not going anywhere. Bengals now 3-1. I picked 3 teams out of that division, as you know, to make the playoffs. Dalton, 20 for 31 for 244 and 2 TDs. Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, later the Packers, 26 rushes for 82 yards. Bengals moved to 3-1, 27-10 over the Jaguars. the Broncos, and maybe this is Peyton Manning's coming out party because he sure looked like Peyton Manning yesterday. They hammer the Raiders in Denver, 37-6. Manning 30-for-38 for 338 and three touchdowns, unbelievable. McGahee's got a running back, 19-for-112 and a TD. Decker, 7 receptions for 79 yards and a TD. Raiders drop to 1-3. Broncos 2-2 as Broncos win 37-6. The Redskins, with exciting RG3, march down the field to beat the Buccaneers 24-22. RG3, 26-for-35. For 323 yards. Freeman was good for Tampa Bay, 24-for-39 for 299 and a touchdown as the Redskins beat the Buccaneers. Redskins 24, Buccaneers 22. The Monday night game tonight, Bears in Dallas to play the Cowboys. That should be a good one. You know, both teams 2-1. Obviously, neither one wants to fall to 500. That's tonight at 8:30 Eastern. One sad note for in the NFL, Chuck Pagano, the new coach of the Indianapolis Colts, has been diagnosed with a treatable form of leukemia. Obviously, treatable is the good news, but he's going to be out 6 weeks, so the Colts are going to lose their the young Colts are going to lose their coach for 6 weeks. But yes, it is true. The good news is that that is a treatable form of leukemia. So hopefully he'll get healthy and hopefully he'll be back sooner, of course, rather than later. Want to get to a few other things, non-football things. I mean, the standings, it's early. I mean, the most impressive thing, I think, is Arizona still 4-0, Atlanta still 4-0, you know, still undefeated 4-0, Houston the only team in the AFC 4-0, and the two winless teams, Cleveland, and I think they're better than 0-4, and of course New Orleans again. I don't think you can. I think we're getting a sense now of what happens when you lose your coach. Would they have been 0-4 if they had all their players in Sean Payton? I don't think so. Again, you'll never know, but of course nobody. The Saints were 8-0 last year at home. They're 0-2 this year at home. Couple of other things to look at quickly. The Ryder Cup, we don't do a lot of golf here, but the Ryder Cup, if you follow it, the U.S. against Europe, it's a big deal. The U.S. dominated the first two games, first 2 days. They were up 10-6 in points at the start of day three. They only needed 4.5 points out of a possible 12 to win, yet they just lost and lost and lost. Rory McIlroy came very late, had no warm-ups, had to play Keegan Bradley early, and with no warm-ups, he beat him. McIlroy beat Bradley. Mickelson was one up after the 16th hole. Justin Rose makes two birdies to beat Mickelson. Furyk one up at the start of the 17th hole, goes bogey, bogey to lose. And the U.S. goes from leading 10-6 to getting behind 13-12. Europe winds up getting the 1.5 points they needed to win. Europe 14.5. U.S. 13.5, Tiger Woods 0-3, Martin Keimer makes a putt to have a match to win the Ryder Cup for Europe. And again, if you follow this, you know it was at Medina in Illinois, but you also know this was the first Ryder Cup since Seve Ballesteros, that great golfer from Spain, who had died in May of 2011. This was the first Ryder Cup since then. These guys really paid homage to them. Jose Maria Olazabal was the coach of the Ryder Cup for Europe, and he was, you know, Seve was like his mentor. Davis Love III just couldn't do anything. You know, his captain picks did not do very well. Tiger Woods got half a point in 3 days. It was just a disaster. It ties the greatest collapse in history or greatest comeback. The U.S. did it to Europe back in 1999, but that ties the greatest comeback in history. Europe wins the Ryder Cup, a stunning defeat for the U.S., especially given the fact that it was played, you know, in America. Quickly to the chase, at Dover yesterday, Brad Keselowski wins again. He's not only won the race, he's also in the lead in the point standings for the chase. You know, this is the stuff they created to add excitement, I guess, to the end of the NASCAR season. Jeff Gordon was second. And the overall point standing, Keselowski is still first. Jimmy Johnson is 5 points behind him. They've got a little separation from the rest of the pack. But there's still seven more races to go. This thing isn't close. Really isn't close, frankly, to being done. Quickly, just a minute on college football. Obviously, we're doing it a couple days later. And, you know, virtually every higher-ranked team won. On Saturday, you know, Washington did beat Stanford. I think that was Thursday. A few interesting games. West Virginia hammers Baylor 70-63. Now, that was billed as two ranked teams. West Virginia ranked 9th, Baylor 25th, but Baylor will fall out of the top 25. Geno Smith, Heisman candidate, video game numbers 45 for 51, 656 yards, and 8 touchdowns. I mean, just, you know, absurd. Austin, his receiver, 14 receptions for 215 and 2 TD. Williams for Baylor, 17 receptions for 314 yards for 2 TDs. I mean, I think they said they combined, the teams combined for over 1,500 yards of offense. Florence, the Baylor quarterback, was 29 for 47 for 581 and 5 TDs. But again, these, you know, I mean, to me, these aren't, they're video games. They're not even football games. Few other interesting games, though. We talked about Ohio State, Michigan State. Michigan State, not that good. Ohio State, or overrated, I'll say. They're good, but they're overrated. Urban Meyer already working his magic. Ohio State ranked 14th, beats Michigan State 17-16. Ohio State now 5-0, and this is without Urban Meyer really recruiting anyone. Number 5, Georgia beats Tennessee 51-44. Again, none of the other teams, you know, Florida State beat South Florida 30-17. Really not a whole lot going on this past weekend. And I think every ranked team, Alabama beat Mississippi 33-14 after being down 7-0. But I don't think there was, frankly, any real, there just aren't enough games in college that are totally meaningful, in my opinion. TV tonight. Orioles at the Rays, 7 o'clock on the MLB Network. Again, the Rays have to sweep the Orioles to have any chance. The Orioles, of course, battling the Yankees. Red Sox at the Yankees, 7 o'clock on the YES Network. Tonight, the football game, Bears at Cowboys, 8:30 Eastern on ESPN. That'll be a good one. We do the baseball first because they do have, these games all have playoff implications. But there is one game tonight, football, Bears at Cowboys down in Dallas, 8:30 Eastern on ESPN. This is the Steve Kallis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.